Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
I need to know.
Welcome to Wrestling Made Me Cry. Sorry, we were in the middle of a conversation and I just went live. It's okay. Anyway, welcome to Wrestling Made Me Cry. Today we're going to be talking about Forbidden Door, mostly. A little bit of AJ Styles and Cody Rhodes. We're going to be talking about what Wrestling Made Me Cry is going to look at for the coming couple weeks. Because I'm going to be working out of state, so we have some logistic things to work out. But anyway, how was everybody? If you have a question or comment, whatever, obligatory, submit a super chat plug. But yeah, back to our conversation, Collins. I have a root beer.
I need to know brand supremacy. Put in the chat, what is your favorite root beer brand? If you were like, I'm hankering for root beer, I'm very passionate about root beer.
This is A&W, I think.
A&W.
Yeah.
Interesting. Is it out of a can or out of a bottle?
Out of a can. Yeah. Because sometimes I buy, I'll buy myself like a 12 pack of soda as like a treat. And then, well, because then you get 12. Because like the bottles, one, I try to stay clear of plastic, but also the bottles, you only get like six. So, okay. Caden says A&W. Maria says Barks.
Barks root beer. Why? It's got the bite and it's also got caffeine in it. Because I don't
know. Oh, yeah.
I don't know about y'all, but do I need caffeine? Yes.
That's so true. I'm normally like a Diet Coke, Coke Zero kind of girl. Mm-hmm. But I've been on like a little bit of a root beer kick. What else we got? We got Ryan says IBC root beer.
Ooh.
Lauren says I'm an AW guy, but AW in Canada is different.
It is different. It different is different. Though. It just tastes different.
SGW says Forbidden Door is another level. It really is.
But like, it depends on the kind of root beer you want. Do you want it more vanilla forward, or do you want it to be more licorice forward, which is very akin to your wrestling, right? Do you want your wrestling to be more sports entertainment forward, or do you want it to be combat forward?
Back to SGW. Do you want your wrestling to be Forbidden Door, or do you want your wrestling to be Clash at the Castle?
Yeah.
Who knows? Both are valid. I'm a Dr. Pepper girly.
Oh, boo. It's just barbecue Sprite.
I like Dr. Pepper. I've been trying to find the Dr. Pepper coconut, but like...
Okay, it's good.
It is. I haven't found it anywhere. I've checked everywhere by near where I live and nobody has it.
Yeah. But we just started off with a bang. Hi. Hi. Hi, Kylie.
Hi. We saw each other literally 15 minutes ago. Before the show, Collins... Oh, this is a good point to talk about.
Yeah.
Collins and I recorded for next Sunday. We recorded a Pride Month special for Wrestling Made Me Cry because I'm going to be out of state next Sunday. And so in the coming few weeks, we are going to have pre-recorded episodes because I'm working out of state and we just can't logistically make it work for us to be live. It's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. I know. But you still get to have input because if you're something you really want to see us talk about and do an episode on, you like, send it to us on Twitter, put it in the comments, whatever you need to do. We have some ideas for things that we have planned. We have a merch episode, like wrestling figures, wrestling shirts that we talked about.
I'm so excited for that.
I know. We did our Pride episode. We very vaguely top 10s / wrestler deep dive / in-depth episodes, whatever. We're very open to it, but we wanted to keep content coming out for you guys because we know you want to be fed and we want to stay part of our little community. So we're going to pre-record some episodes. I'm working all next week and then I come back to Florida for a few days and then I'm gone for a month. So in that few days, we're going to squeeze in all of our episodes. It's going to be great.
I'm ready. Are you?
I'm so ready. I am beyond ready. I'm really excited. If you guys have ideas or whatever, send them to us on Twitter, put them in the chat. You know, it doesn't even have to be now. It could be in the future. We'll do it. Ricochet is the topic of conversation today. Prince Puma's All Elite, says Mike. Ace says, if Ricochet goes to AW, he and Ospreay run it back at Wembley for the AW International title. Could be. Ryan says, idea. Why don't we have guys kissing more in wrestling?
Exactly.
Watch the episode, Ryan.
Exactly.
We'll explain it to you. Ricochet, if you are, you haven't seen Ricochet, gave his notice to WWE that when his contract expires this summer, he's not resigning. So of course, speculation everywhere. Prince Puma's All Elite. He should go to New Japan. He's going to stay with WWE, you know, all that kind of stuff. All I'm going to say is Ricochet, when he's motivated and he's given the time and all that kind of stuff, is an incredible athlete. And I think there's no better time for Ricochet to go test his might in Japan. I said this on Twitter, and I know people misunderstood me, so I clarified. I don't think AEW is the best place for Ricochet because the AEW roster is so full. Not that Ricochet isn't as good as the people there, but it's very, very difficult for a lot of people in AEW to get the time and all that kind of stuff. And for me, Ricochet should leave WWE, if he leaves WWE, and go on like a killer run. And so I could definitely see Ricochet running New Japan or TNA and then having that back and forth with AEW, I think still works out. Ace says, is SRS still working on that Ricochet story? Yeah, he said this morning that he would have news today on Fightful Select.
It's $5.
Yeah, best $5 in wrestling. Ryan says, when it comes to contracts, all I ever say is do what you want to do and get that money. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Caden says, the biggest issue with Nuge is they don't have the money for him. Well, it depends on if he wants that big money contract or if he wants to be, wants to show off as a wrestler. Ace says Penta is likely on his way out of AW soon. Would AW stop Penta for Ricochet? I have no idea. We're caught up. Mike says TK apparently really, really likes Ricochet. TK really, really likes everybody. TK likes wrestling almost to like an obsessive degree where he just knows everybody and just likes everybody because he likes wrestling. And I think that's what got AW in some trouble before, when they were signing everybody and the roster is really full, and that you guys know what I'm talking about. Ricochet, regardless, is an incredible athlete and will succeed anywhere and everywhere simply because he stands out. Even in 2024, where everybody's a freak athlete, I think Ricochet is still at the top. I think he's up there with Ospreay and Omega in terms of like athletic ability.
Well, it's one of those things that we all know that WWE has not utilized Ricochet to the capacity that we've seen. If you've seen like matches against Will Ospreay, I mean, even just that match in itself, it's something that I don't understand physically how I'm always mysticized by wrestlers and their bodies and what they can do. But there's just something special about Ricochet, and any company, any place that he goes, he will be utilized and he knows what he's worth. So whether it's New Japan, whether it's showing up in AEW, whether it's having an indies run, because we're watching a lot of these, ex WWE wrestlers also have fantastic indie runs. I don't know. The man just needs to get paid, and he's going to get paid, and he has a lot left in that tank. It's not like he, is at the tail end of his career or isn't getting started. Like, he is at peak athleticism.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've only gotten a taste of him in WWE. How this man hasn't gotten, main title gold and not just the, secondary titles. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. There's a lot of WWE contracts coming up, and I don't want to harp on it too much for everybody in the chat, but it's like a really, really interesting time because all those people they locked down when AEW began in 2019, they're all coming due 5 years. At the same time. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, like Mike said in the chat, Chad Gable, Ricochet, Natalya, there's a lot of people coming due. And it's, if you're WWE, obviously someone like Chad Gable, you want to keep. Natalya, you want to keep. But I think we're at a point where, and I am so thrilled that wrestling is this way, where there's so many options to be successful and workers have more leverage than they've mm-hmm. had before. Because that's what happens when you break up monopolies. Not that WWE is still a monopoly, but I think that we're at a point where there's unprecedented global competition for WWE.
Yep.
Workers have so much more power. And I think like that is the ultimate bottom line. So I'm excited to see what kind of money these people make because it's going to be pretty good, I think. I'm workers first. I'm really big into workers' rights and, you know, supporting the working people and all that kind of stuff. So I'm excited. I think that WWE for a long time has gotten away with not paying its athletes what they're worth. And not to say that athletes in other sports make what they're worth, but like proportionally, someone did like a chart about this, but WWE wrestlers, like their wages relative to the revenue of WWE is so small compared to every other major sport, which is crazy. So I'm excited to see if we start seeing that trend reverse itself because I'm always for the workers regardless.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I do think we are in an era of wrestling where indie wrestlers are proving that they can make just as much money as they made when they were in WWE. I'm just speaking of Matt Cardona, and now, you know, we're seeing the rise of Mustafa Ali.
Yeah.
You see people thriving, you see people making money, you see people taking strides post WWE, you see wrestlers like Effie who have said, I never want to work for a major promotion, I am making more money on the indies. And that's all you want to see. You want to see workers making that money and thriving beyond the capacity of a major company. I love it.
And I think for wrestlers, at least those on the indies or in other promotions, not WWE, because I think it's trickier for them. There's so many different avenues now because of social media to make money. Mm-hmm. Like obviously the merch, like wrestling t-shirts and things, but there's also vlogs and YouTube channels and TikTok and Twitch streams and all these different avenues where wrestlers can build their community, which in turn makes them more money because people buy their stuff and go to their shows. But also those services themselves provide an avenue of income. So wrestlers are in a really, really good position, which is really, really exciting because I think for a long time, wrestlers, especially on the independents, really wore down their bodies with all the driving and the matches and all that kind of thing. And they were just, some made it to WWE, but the vast majority didn't. So we get to see so many more people following their dreams and actually achieving them, which is so super cool. When it comes to Ricochet, Natty, Chad Gable, there's some other contracts coming up. I can't recall all of them. They're all going to be just fine. Whether they stay in WWE or they go somewhere else, they're all going to be just fine because this is the... Not that wrestling is super, super worker positive, but I think this is the most worker positive environment wrestling's had in a really, really long time. Mm-hmm. So we should all be celebrating that.
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's talk Forbidden Door because we're starting to get some matches announced, some pretty big matches announced, and I'm super excited about them. So I want to start with Moxley because this week on AEW TV, the Blackpool Combat Club was whole and complete because Wheeler Yuta returned. Thank God.
You know how many times I got tagged to that just because I've been complaining for so long about
multiple platforms.
Yeah.
Where's Wheeler?
Where's Wheeler? Where is he? Where is he? And then seeing.
Yeah, that he's healthy and
Right. That's all we
wrestling. And it was immediately like Blackpool Combat Club, you're wrestling CMLL guys. Mm-hmm. And you're gonna represent AW. And I thought the match was really great. I love Blackpool Combat Club because each member wrestles so differently, like a completely different style and vibe. Mm-hmm. But they look so imposing and so intimidating. Like, and Moxley is currently IWGP heavyweight champion, which is New mm-hmm. Japan's big title. And at Forbidden Door is going to be Moxley versus Naito. I personally think Naito's going to win it back.
Yeah.
I think Moxley has been a great representative of New Japan. And I think same as he has always done with AW, he's carried. But I think a New Japan guy getting a big win on this pay-per-view, which is New Japan and CMLL and AW and Stardom. I think that's like a really good way to solidify Naito as the guy. But I could also see Moxley winning because New Japan, like Moxley does good work for New Japan's. Your team Naito, like 100%.
But I mean, here's the thing. So, you know, I do predictions, you know, every week. And last year we did a G1 classic, which was exhausting to follow day after day, week after week. But it is the most I've ever been behind Naito. There is just a different shade of Naito as a wrestler that a lot of American fans, a lot of Western fans, they don't see the character development, the skill. Like Naito is a far different wrestler than he was in, you know, 2018, 2019, 2020. Like he has matured, I think, in my opinion, and you can tell me in the comments. He's just a different version of himself that is far more advanced and ready to lead New Japan wherever they go.
Yeah.
Because we know that, you know, they have changed leadership and, you know, the president now of Tanahashi. There's a different direction that New Japan is going, and it has a sparked life into it that if Moxley doesn't, if he doesn't win and Naito wins, I think that is a good way to kind of put the belt on track, because whoever wins the G1, it would bring that to the forefront of, okay, who are you facing if you win the whole tournament? But if Moxley does win, when does Naito get that win back? Or are they just going to say, well, we're just going to wait until after the G1. We'll see what happens. So,
yeah, and I also think it's going to be interesting this year at Forbidden Door because it's four promotions, and there's a lot of these matches have like really strong stories attached to them, and we'll get into that. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting just wrestling politics wise how mm-hmm. we balance like how many AW wins, how many New Japan wins, whatever. And so I do think Naito wins. Excuse me. I do think Naito wins it. I think John Moxley is kind of Teflon at this point. I think any loss John Moxley takes doesn't hurt John Moxley, just benefits whoever's beating him. And I think that match itself, the selling point for it is Naito, who has had like an up and down career. He's been on the rise, and then he was in Mexico, and he's on the rise again, but then he's kind of hidden behind Osprey, Omega, Jay White, Kota Ibushi, and then he's kind of like always in flux. I think this will be a good solid moment. I think it's a good moment for New Japan to like put themselves out there and say this is the vision for what we're going to be doing, because I mean they lost Okada, they lost Osprey.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the whole thing of like, it would be really difficult, especially during that period where you had Omega, you had Okada, you had Tanahashi, you know, with Will Ospreay jumping into the mix, with Jay White coming up. How do you shimmy your way into that top spot of New Japan? I think that's where Naito got lost. And I think a lot of people would agree that the best thing that happened to Naito was AEW being created, because then all those people that occupied that top spot, he now has the room to wiggle in, and we're seeing the development of, you know, other wrestlers that were kind of in the, you know, mid card, so to speak, you know, of New Japan coming up. I love seeing Shota come up, where Shota definitely I don't know if he's been like an, you know, a jobber, so to speak, but he was not taken seriously. Mm-hmm. And he was just the young boy for everyone. He was just the guy who got pinned a lot. And now we're seeing him. He's proved his worth. And I like that too. Where like,
yeah,
he would lose to, you know, Moxley's boy.
Yeah. So for our listeners who can't see, Launchpad on Twitch says, will Naito win it back, or do you think Mox eventually loses to Shota? Shota Umino, to me, is a very interesting story, because he was training in New Japan and he became John Moxley's like son. Right. Yeah. And now he's his own person in New Japan. He's done his excursion. He's graduated. And now he's his own wrestler. He has his own thing going on. And it's really interesting, the dynamic with Moxley, because Moxley comes to New Japan every so often. And it's like Shota Umino and John Moxley, they're a thing. And so I'm really interested to see if they eventually do Moxley versus Shota Umino. Mm-hmm. Which, if that's the case, I think that's a career-defining win for Shota. And I think New Japan should be looking to build people, young talent like that. And also, Shota Umino has this connection to the West, and they're focused on westward expansion. And I think Shota is a great wrestler, and I think Shota has a lot of promise and a lot of potential. And I think that would be a really defining moment. But I don't think that Moxley drops the big title to him, the IWGP heavyweight title. I think Naito is where we go. I think they're going to put on a great match. It's going to be crazy and violent, and there's going to be a million chops, and it's going to be a good time.
Titties out, titties out. Oh, Corey, I see your comment.
Corey in the chat says, if Naito goes out, they're topless, titties out, and they're in the clinic. Yeah. And I think that's the mindset that Naito has, that he has to go out and be absolutely full throttle crazy. I think like that's the vibe of Forbidden Door in general, not just Naito Moxley. I think everybody goes out there with a mindset that they're going to be full throttle, absolutely crazy. Speaking of full throttle, absolutely crazy, should we talk about this New Japan Strong Women's title match, which is also AW or TBS title match? It's titled title for title.
I can't believe that it's going to be title for title, which just makes me a little uncomfy, because I understand the point of Forbidden Door being, okay, you know, it started with AEW versus New Japan talent, is expanded to now Stardom talent, it's expanded to CMLL talent, and I don't see Mercedes losing.
Okay.
And I don't want to see, you know, we've all endured the, you know, brand supremacy for years, especially with WWE and like Survivor Series, right? That one year where it was like all Raw talent won all their matches against SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Except the pre-show, but we, you know, they don't acknowledge that
for some reason.
Right. Yeah. But it's a thing that I don't want to see AEW talent just win all the matches. However, I don't see Mercedes losing, because Mercedes, especially with how she's regarded with the, you know, Japanese talent, with the Japanese audience, She's already been exposed over there. It would be so big and so dominating if she had both of those title belts.
Yeah.
And she brings a mainstream capacity to it because she has been in, you know, a Star Wars show, right? It was a show? Show.
I don't know. I'm assuming it's a show. I'm not a Star Wars fan, so I don't really know. Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian. Yeah, that's a show. Yeah. Series. I don't know what they call, you know, those long form.
Series. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever it's called. Yeah.
But, you know, people in Hollywood know Mercedes, you know, in a more mainstream capacity than they do with Stephanie. But I think that that match is going to, I don't know. it's going to have shenanigans in it, but it's also going to be, I mean, 5-star, 6-star, 7-star, 8-star. It's going to be phenomenal.
I just want to acknowledge Kate in the chat. For the first time, because I've never joined under the Fightful handle in my whole entire life. Kate, welcome to your first ever Wrestling Made Me Cry. We're talking about Forbidden Door and how excellent we think it's going to be. But I also think for CMLL, when it comes to the match, the value is not in Stephanie winning. Like, granted, her, you know, beating Mercedes would be game changing, but it's the fact that CMLL is included in Forbidden Door and that their female talent is included when AEW and Forbidden Door in general has always been super male dominated. I mean, we've had women's matches at Forbidden Door, but it's always been just like a random thrown together women's world title match or, you know, something along those lines.
It hasn't been, the other promotions. It hasn't been like
this big as Mercedes matches. So I think there's a lot of value in that for CMLL getting Stephanie on screen. And I think Mercedes wins. I don't think there's any, I mean, the title for title stipulation itself tells me Mercedes going to win because she just won the TBS title.
Right. And
she's been booked super strong. I think the match is going to be great. And I think it's going to be a good time. And I think Mercedes with two belts is going to be very, very interesting because the world title picture is so, and we'll get to the Toni Storm match. The world title picture on the women's division is so wrapped up in this Toni Storm, Mariah May, Mina, like love triangle that's going on. So Mercedes having two belts, working Japan, working AEW, fielding challengers from both sides. I think there's a lot of value in that. One, because you get Mercedes in a lot of matches and you get to have a lot of banger matches. Two, because it gives you the room and the space to breathe to finish that Toni Storm story with Mariah May, where you don't have to rush because you need something for the women's division. Like this is a good avenue to take. So I'm excited. It's really interesting to me, Willow and Chris Statlander are seemingly feuding and it's wrapped up in the best friend story as well. And I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
I love Willow, who's on this mission to get retribution by saving Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, by becoming Orange Cassidy's only friend left.
Yeah. Right? They're the new best friends as far as I'm concerned.
The buddy cop movie.
You know? And then you have Trent just being a jerk everywhere on Twitter and real life. And Chris trying to stop him from beating up Orange Cassidy. It's very, very strange. But I really kind of enjoy that because if you had Chris Statlander and Willow feuding independent of the faction that Chris is in that is feuding at the moment, that it feels unrealistic. Like to me, Chris Statlander is part of Best Friends, so she should be invested in what is happening to Best Friends. So I really enjoy that. And I think Willow and Orange Cassidy are so funny together. Because they're both just like these happy-go-lucky kind of people. Like Orange Cassidy is so carefree. Willow is so positive that she's so carefree. But now she's kind of not. But I'm intrigued by it. And that's a good example of a women's story that doesn't
involve a title.
The title. Not that title feuds are bad, but AEW for so long, the only women's stories presented were title matches. And a lot of those were just like, I'm the best, so I'm challenging for the title at Forbidden Door with no build up or lead in or anything. So it's really interesting. We have Mercedes, who's going to go on a tear. We have the love triangle going on in the world title picture, which is, I have so many thoughts. We have, Will and Chris. Serena Deeb is doing stuff. Soraya's there. And it's, there's just a lot that's going on. It's a good time.
I do like the multiple storylines, especially when they don't have to revolve around a title belt, because it happens in the men's division as well. So overlapping storylines, I do enjoy, because then it kind of makes things make sense. Like, why wouldn't, you know, Chris Statlander be involved in the best friend segment? Because remember, I said breast friends. Wow. Okay. but like, remember when AEW first started and there was that whole like Nightmare Collective? We're like, Brandy was like a heel stable, and she was a big bad meanie with, you know, Awesome Kong and I am forgetting. Mel. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And she was doing this like, I'm big bad, I'm gonna take over the women's division. But then all of a sudden, Cody is this baby face and she's walking alongside of him, and it's like, this is so disconnected from reality, from itself. I don't know if I should boo Brandy, if I should cheer Brandy, should I boo Cody? It didn't make sense in storyline. So having these overlap stories makes sense to me, and I consider myself a storyline snob, because some storylines I do not care for. Yeah. And some storylines don't make sense, but I love it when they do. I love it.
I think that's a good segue into Kate in the chat says, Cody and Mariah are breast friends. And they're always nibbling the bottom. That's a tongue twister. Super chat, a little segue Super chat from Delayed Gratz, who says, what are your thoughts on Rossi Agua stating that Triple H urged him to leave Stardom, set up Joshi, and work with WWE? You two are awesome. Keep up the great work. We need your voices in this space. Thank you so much for your kind words and your super chat.
Yes.
I think that Triple H meddling in Japan is something that's been going on for a long time. Like, we all remember NXT Japan and all the stuff that happened there. I personally think that, you know, just independent of WWE, I think more Joshi promotions collabing with promotions in the West is good, because one, you get to see more women on your screen, and two, I think the quality of matches is inherently higher because of the intense training and athletes and things that training that happens in Joshi. But I also think that getting into the ear of a promoter and urging him to leave and start his own promotion, that's ethically dubious at best.
Yeah.
And I don't want to harp on it too much, because I don't want to bring down the tone and the vibe. But I think that Triple H probably should not have done that. Because, yikes.
I mean,
I think at the end of the day, Stardom is going to be fine. Stardom has a lot of talent, you know, their partnership with AEW and Forbidden Door and all these kind of things, they're going to be fine. I think WWE meddling in the Joshi scene is, it's interesting.
It almost, I mean, I don't want to say it's like the same thing, but remember when, you know, NXT UK came to everyone's forefront, and they thought, okay, we're going to translate the success of NXT to the UK audience. We're going to see all these awesome UK talent. And a lot of UK talent are some of my favorite wrestlers to watch week after week now. However, the way that they did those deals and said, hey, you can't do anything else except this. If you're going to sign with us, but we're not going to pay you. So a lot of people lost out on wages. A lot of people stopped going to those UK shows because the main stars were all picked and then they couldn't go work with these other local promotions. Yeah. So now you don't have any stars in the UK and the pool is already much smaller. So all these little promotions, these local promotions started dying.
Yeah.
And, you know, in Japan, there are, you know, a couple options for your, you know, Japanese wrestling. But the main ones with New Japan, with Stardom, I think if NXT, and this is my opinion, I think if you know, Triple H had done this partnership deal and NXT Japan had taken over, I think we would have seen a wipeout of a lot of up-and-coming Japanese talent who wouldn't have gotten over, because it is so difficult for non, you know, first language, you know, English speakers to get over in the WWE.
Yeah.
And we see it time and time again. And it takes a lot of work to get over. And I hope that we are in a better direction than we were, you know, 10 years ago with non-American people on, you know, on your mainstream television, if you're trying to understand. So I also think that that deal was a little bit dirty, a little bit scummy, but also in line with what they did in the UK.
Yeah. I think ultimately for me, you know, and this is a good segue to swing us back to the Forbidden Door, it comes down to whether or not WWE is looking to utilize this as like a puppet promotion for themselves and have like significant control over what happens in Marigold, or if they're seeking the kind of partnerships that AEW has built internationally. So I think only time will tell really how this all shakes out and plays out. But as someone who's just against monopolies in general, I don't think the global expansion of WWE as a monopoly is healthy for the business. And I think that's where we'll conclude on that. But did we get to Mariah May? We did. Because I pulled up Kate's chat. Okay. Mariah May, Toni Storm, Mina Shirakawa, love triangle story. I love this.
I love it so much.
It is so intriguing, and they've done a really good job. To give credit to AW, they've done a really great job of filling in the gaps between Mariah May and Mina to tell you what the story is there if you're not familiar with Joshi. So they've really delayed. It's always derail the conversation. Well, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to apologize. We will derail it ourselves all the time. We encourage you all to come here with your ideas for things to talk about.
And please keep derailing. Give money and you can derail the conversation all you want.
Yeah, it's very much like an open dialogue. But back to Mariah and Mina, AW's did a really good job of showing you what their relationship has always been, while also showing this tension between Toni and Mariah, because Mariah May in AEW has always been Toni Storm's like little girl. Like that's her minion, her companion, her partner. And now here comes Mina, who has all this history with Mariah. And Mina is jumping right back into it. Like, hi, Toni. And Mariah, and Luther's there as well, but we're not talking about Luther. Luther in this butler role is so funny.
It's so good.
We'll get to it. But at Forbidden Door, it's Toni Storm versus Mina Shirakawa. And where's Mariah May's allegiances lie? Luther, obviously, with Toni Storm, but he could pull a fast one and betray Toni Storm. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I never underestimate Luther. But it's this really interesting love triangle where both Toni and Mina are kind of fighting for Mariah's love and her her dedication. And they're both just kind of pulling at her. Like, I imagine they each have an arm and they're like pulling her one way or the other. And now they have a title match at Forbidden Door. And Mariah May is going to be a huge factor in that. Because we've really been building to Mariah May versus Toni Storm for the AEW Women's World title.
Yep.
And so you throw in Mina. So now it's the insinuation, does Mariah betray Mina to help Toni win? Does Mariah fail to help Mina win? Like, does she turn a blind eye to cheating? Is that as bad as helping Toni Storm cheat? Like, there's so many layers here to this story. But I think ultimately it comes down to Mariah ringside. You have to pick a side. You have to pick Toni Storm, or you have to pick Mina Shirakawa. And Luther's there as well. But, and so I love Luther, but it ultimately comes down to that. And I think Mariah is going to pick Mina, and I think Mina's still going to fail to beat Toni.
Yeah. There's also this aspect of wrestling that, like, I don't know, tag people, you know, managers on the outside, where it's not always practiced, but it's the aspect of throwing in the towel for them, throwing in the flag for them, right? We saw that, you know, with MJF and Cody, you know, back then. Where there was that aspect of like, oh yeah, I forget that like managers can do that for you, where they can see that you are in, you know, desperation in order to preserve your body, in order to make sure that you are not hurt beyond what you are, you know, being put through. Let me throw in the towel for you. And I feel like we've seen that in some Toni Storm matches or Mariah May match, right? There was the Mariah May match and Toni had to throw in the handkerchief, so to speak. And it creates this whole new layer of like, I need to protect you at all costs. I got to protect your body. I got to protect, you know, my love for you. I have to, you know, honor you. But in order to get, if this is what we are planning of Toni versus Mariah May, we have to get Mariah May on the opposing side. And it has to be organic. And I think this is the surefire way to get the result that we want. And you know what? I was unsure about Mariah May because I did not have a huge knowledge before she came to AEW. I was gleefully Googling, because instead of, you know, just going on Twitter and being like, who the F is Mariah May? I went on Google and I was like, who is this person? Watched some of those matches. Kind of started to understand, you know, getting some bits and pieces, because it's a show I just haven't had the time to watch out of everything that I watch, and learning who she was, her relationship with Mina, their entire group that they had, and how vital she played for the time that she was in Stardom, just transposing, you know, it's like your summer boyfriend, and then you start to go to school, and then you have like a school boyfriend, but then your summer boyfriend starts going to the school that you're going to, and you're like, how do I am in a love triangle. Who do I have my allegiance to? The person that's been there for me time after time after time, or the person that I've been obsessed over and I want to learn from, and I'm wearing their gimmick and I'm coming out to their music, who do I have my allegiance to?
Yeah. And I think they've done a great job at showing you that Toni and Mina have two very different ideas of love when it comes to Mariah. Mm-hmm. Mina's love is very much like a joyful, mutual, like, appreciation for one another as who they are. And for Toni, her love seems very much rooted in the people I love need to worship me. Like, Luther worships Toni Storm. Mariah May worships Toni Storm. And that is Toni Storm's idea of appreciation, of respect, of love, because of the character that she's embodying. Mm-hmm. So then you have Mariah, who's having these two very different experiences of love, having to sort of sift through her own feelings and also sift through like the authenticity of each person's love, whether she feels like it is real, true love, or it's just you know, obsession or, you know, what have you. And I think that's really, there's a lot of emotional depth there and something that on the surface looks so silly because these are, you know, these are silly characters. And especially Toni Storm, her character seems so outlandish, but there's like really great emotional depths here. And I think that they are really knocking it out of the park with this story. I'm really intrigued by it. And I'm excited to see how it plays out because I'm assuming that Mina's introduction was the launching point for the Mariah Toni Storm feud.
Yeah.
And I think we're getting there. I'm really interested to see if we pull the trigger here or if, you know, I think Toni Storm is winning. If Mina loses clean and then still continues to hang around and we see the tensions evolve in some kind of way, like greater animosity for Toni, something along those lines, you know, through the summer, I think that would be really interesting. I think Mina being here has added so much to this story. It really has. And I'm really glad that AW did that. And this match is, it's going to be really great because I think Toni, her last few matches has really shown, you know, hey, I'm a good wrestler too. Like I can hang with all these Joshi. I can hang with the best of the best. So I'm really, like the two women's matches we have announced, I think are both going to be 5-star bangers. And I'm like, look how far we've come.
I know. Look at us. Who would have thought?
Even just Forbidden Door last year. What?
I know. I mean, I think that's the thing that AEW's biggest criticism by far has been their women's division.
Yeah.
And it is really difficult because they were doing the whole, I think the Roman Reigns treatment, right, for so long that they built a women's division around one wrestler. Whether or not Britt Baker knew that, like, they were building just a women's division around Britt Baker and who she could face. And I think that I don't want to speak for the audience because I have read what other people have said of, oh, I'm tired of Britt Baker. I'm tired. You know, I miss her, blah, blah, blah. It's like, there are so many other women's wrestlers that have not gotten a chance yet to shine, but now we're getting more than one match.
Yeah.
We're getting more than one women's segment week after week on multiple shows.
Yeah.
Which is all we've wanted. We are getting women's storylines bleeding into men's storyline. You know, like,
yeah.
Oh my God. Finally.
Yeah. The division feels important in ways it hasn't before. Because now it's, if you don't understand the women's division, you're missing so much of everything else that's going on in the promotion. Yeah. Which I think is important because it forces people who had been ignoring the women's division. Now they have to pay attention. And I think that that is a really effective strategy to deploy. And I also think for years, they've put women in male factions and done nothing with them. They're just there, like Chris, Anna Jay, Ty Mello. And so I think this Statlander being in a feud with Willow Nightingale, but also being a member of the Best Friends, that is, it seems so simple to say, and it seems so silly that we're like, whoa, but it, for AEW, like that's a big deal because Chris Statlander is retaining her membership as a member of Best Friends while she's in the women's division. And they could have very easily just said, oh, Chris versus Willow. And that's that. And you never hear about Chris Statlander being part of the Best Friends again. So I really appreciate that. I love the love triangle story. I love Mercedes being a sports entertainer jerk.
Entertainer, you know?
Yeah. Entertainer. and I think it's going to be, I think those two matches, like I said earlier, 5-star bangers.
Absolutely.
Speaking of 5-star bangers, the AEW World title match. Swerve Strickland versus William Ospreay.
What do you think of this? Because I've seen some criticism.
Yeah.
I saw, I don't know if you know them, Kate from Fightful.
That rings a bell.
had some really good points on on Twitter regarding it. I want to know your opinion.
I'm going to sound really pessimistic here, and I apologize. It seems like a missed opportunity because Will Ospreay...
Kylie being a hater.
it seems like Swerve and Ospreay in a match together gets rid of the possibility of two other banger matches. Like Will Ospreay versus someone in New Japan, there's built-in story. And mm-hmm. Swerve as world champion wrestling someone from another promotion, whether it's New Japan or CMLL, like there's really great opportunity there to have a dream match. And you're forfeiting all of that to do this match that you don't have to do. Because mm-hmm. Will Ospreay, I mean, he's not been on a world title run. He's not been chasing the world title. Like, he's doing his own thing with his own title. So, like, I really don't understand why they decided to go with this. I understand the idea that you want to have a banger AEW match mm-hmm. and show off your athletes on a global stage. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think this was a good decision. I really don't. The match is going to be great. Of course, look who's in it. It's Swerve and it's Will Ospreay. Of course, it's going to be great. They're going to show off. I think Swerve wins it. And it's after that, it's like, well, what was the point? Like, yeah. I really don't. There's no substance to it. There's no meaning to it. You didn't have to do it. And I would have rather seen Swerve challenge someone who from CMLL, from New Japan, from wherever, mm-hmm. that I haven't seen him wrestle before. And also, I want him to represent AEW as the world champion on this global stage. Because, like, Jon Moxley versus Naito, Jon Moxley's the IWGP champion and Naito, wrestles for New Japan. But Jon Moxley's an AEW guy holding a New Japan title. So, like, that is a natural story there. It's not the same when you're two AEW guys holding AEW titles. It's just not the same. And it seems like a missed opportunity to do some really, really cool stuff. Because this mm-hmm. Forbidden Door is once a year.
Once a year, right? We could do Will and Swerve any other time. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But no, I definitely agree with those sentiments there. But
and also, Ace the Chat says they didn't want Swerve Boot versus Will at All In. I don't think they're wrestling at All In. I'm going to be honest. It almost feels like they're getting this match out of the way so that we're not talking about it at All In.
I think with Will, there are bigger matches for him for All In. I mean, we still have to utilize Bryan Danielson and the time that we have him. The Hangman's bound to come back.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand the logic behind it. It's going to be a great match. So I don't want to be like, boo. You know, it's going to be a great
Hater
match.
Hater Kylie on brand.
It's going to be great. But it's just, it's not the choice I would have made. And I think it's a bad choice. Mike right. said MJF versus Swerve at All In could be. Reverie's Cool says, I think the All In match is going to be Swerve versus Danielson. Could be. I think any of those matches are great for All In. I think Will Ospreay has to wrestle at All In, either a dream match situation, Kenny Omega, a Danielson, an Okada, like something like that, where it doesn't matter that Ospreay is English wrestling in England because
right.
it's a dream match. People are going to cheer for everything. Mm-hmm. Or he has to wrestle a despicable heel who gets booed by, 50, 60 some odd thousand people. And that's like also an incredible moment. So
mm-hmm.
I think AEW is smarter than booking Swerve versus Ospreay. Fingers crossed at All In. But also, I don't think you have to book it here at Forbidden Door. Like there's so much opportunity, and it's the forfeit of that opportunity to have a cool AEW guys match that could have been, you could have done this match on a TV episode.
Yeah.
It could have been a TV main event and it would have been fun.
I think also the best part about this, and not to say that like, oh, every pay-per-view, like the most important title should be your main, you know, title. I don't know, whatever people say. I think sometimes it's okay to like kind of have a regular schmegular match that we know is going to be a banger.
Yeah.
But like it's going to highlight the other dream matches on the card. And I don't know, sometimes I kind of like when the main title is not the main event. I think that kind of puts some more stock, some more legitimacy to your women's titles or, you know, TNT title, which I don't think the TNT title is going to main event. But you know what I mean? Like it might be the New Japan title, maybe Moxley and, you know, Naito main event like that. That might be more important. So I don't know, maybe because that's where I'm seeing is like, okay, we're going to get a great match regardless of if we like it or not. If this is the avenue that we want to go down with Swerve, because we can fantasy book Swerve versus everybody until we're blue in the face, but this match is going to happen, you know, Lord willing that no one gets hurt. But I feel like we are in that era of, okay, there could have been something better because there always could have been something better.
Yeah.
So
I mean, the AW, the TNT title picture, like they clearly got thrown a curveball with the Adam Copeland injury and they're trying to figure it out. And I respect it. And so like this ladder match that's happening, it's a little weird. We don't know all the participants yet, but I think it's going to be fine. It's going to be there. It's whatever. It's going to be a good time. Orange Cassidy. And is he wrestling ZSJ? I think so. I can't remember. But that's going to be fine. But it's almost like.
He is.
Oh, good. It's almost like the AW World title match. Not that I'm upset that it's, you know.
I mean, I wish it would have been Zack Sabre Jr. 100%.
Yeah. And I think the two women's title matches are definitely at the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
And I think behind that is the IWGP heavyweight title. And so everything else is just, I mean, the TNT title, the AW World title, you know, the singles dream matches that get put together, what have you, all that kind of like, it, you know, fills in gaps where it needs to fill in gaps. And I get it. But I don't know, like something about me, like, Swerve winning the world title and being a workhorse champion and people still doubting him. Like I really wish that they would have done something Forbidden Door-esque with Swerve at least. But he's gonna have a good match with Ospreay. It's gonna be fine.
I love that we're like, oh, this match is gonna be fine. And it's like your two best wrestlers.
I think it's because I'm mourning the loss of what could have been.
Sure.
And Forbidden Door, there should never be an AW versus AW match. I said the same thing about the women's division. Mm-hmm. There was always an AW women's world title match, but it was two AW wrestlers. And granted, they weren't working with Stardom, blah, 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 but they should have tried harder. they should have. Yeah. And so now the women's division is getting the Forbidden Door treatment and the men just aren't, which is weird to me. It's very strange, especially when there's more promotions involved in Forbidden Door than ever before.
Yeah.
But it's going to be good. I'm interested to see, because I think Swerve is winning. I'm interested to see how the finish plays out.
Yeah.
Because the babyface turned Swerve and now he's wrestling Ospreay, who is on fire. Like, people love Ospreay.
He is the Kenny Omega shaped replace. I don't know. There's a Kenny Omega shaped hole in my heart and it's being, you know, silly puttied in by Will Ospreay for the moment.
Yeah. And so I'm interested to see how the finish plays out. I don't know. Do you have Swerve beat Ospreay clean? Do you have him cheat? Like, what is, Because he, also MJF did a promo on Dynamite, which was a boo-boo garbage. But he did call out Will Ospreay. So I'm assuming that's where we're... It was boo-boo garbage. But I'm assuming that's where we're going.
Boo-boo garbage.
That's the term that I reserve for the worst of the worst.
I definitely think Swerve goes full heel. Hello. The best Swerve is Swerve with cinder blocks. The best version of Swerve that we've seen was that match against Hangman where there was blood drinking.
Yeah, but it's like you just turned him babyface, and I think
that was the wrong idea. Wrong idea.
I also think it was the wrong idea, but I think when Hangman comes back, mm-hmm. I really do see him hopping in with the Elite. So then how do you get back to Hangman versus Swerve?
Because Swerve is bad guy do bad thing. Your cute, anxious millennial cowboy babyface boys comes in on horse. I'm coming to save the day.
If he rejoins the Elite, then he won't be a babyface.
Will he rejoin the Elite?
I mean,
the Young Bucks cutting off. The Young Bucks cutting off Max Caster's rap this week definitely makes me think that there's a possible.
Listen, as far as I'm concerned, that was a babyface turn. That was 10 out of 10 stars. We needed it. We did. And I'm glad that like there's some self-awareness in AW. Granted, there's no self-awareness with the Jericho stuff, but I'll take what I can
get. Okay. We're not talking about Jericho because we are on very different sides.
Ace says, crowd flip Swerve face. They can't get fickle now. But do you think Swerve is masquerading as a baby face? Like, I genuinely think he actually doesn't care that, you know, the mogul, what are they calling themselves now? Gates of Agony?
The Cage of Agony?
I genuinely don't think that he cares. I think that he thought that they were just like play toys in his dollhouse. So it would be cool if he was just masquerading as a babyface this whole time. I just don't think Ospreay wins here, and it's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, the timing is very strange.
I agree.
A lot of dissension in the chat. Okay. I mean, the AW TNT title ladder match, we don't have all the participants yet, but it's going to be okay. Life goes on. Get well soon, Adam Copeland.
Okay, I wore this shirt just because he's a sicko. Did you see the video that he's like, yeah, I just got surgery. I'm going to go do some planks.
Yeah.
This guy is a sicko. He's a sicko.
I love him for
sicko.
I love him for it, though. He's a sicko. I'm excited for him to come back. And also, did you see, hold on, they put it on Twitter. Let me go to my Twitter and so I can show you all this wonderful thing.
But in that ladder match, we have Takeshita. We have Mark Briscoe, who is the ROH champion, but he's never mentioned on ROH, really, or I don't know. I have thoughts. We have Lee Moriarty, which, hell yes. And we have Dante Martin, hell yes. For a ladder match? Takeshita and a ladder match? Mark Briscoe? This is going to be nuts. Cuckoo bananas, crazy pants.
I'm excited. Sorry to interrupt, but I'm excited to see, because you said Takeshita and I had to get it out there. I'm excited to see Takeshita's like slow realization that Don Callis is not good for his career, because they've kind of been doing a little bit of that. Like, Takeshita listens to Don Callis and loses. So I'm excited to see how that plays out in this ladder match. Because also Don Callis is already grooming Trent to be his next big thing. So I'm excited. I really am. But also, Christian Cage Father's Day special on Collision. I had to show that because it popped me. It's the 1 year anniversary of Collision. It's the day before Father's Day. And they're like, call in the dad. Call him in. Where is he? So I'm excited to see what he says. I think Christian Cage staying relevant is important because I do think that they're Adam Copeland's going to come back and they're going to go right into something with them because
yep.
I think that they were teasing it before the injury. And so they got it, especially because the Brood, like Gangrel was on AEW. Okay. The Brood is coming as soon as Adam Copeland's boo-boo heals.
His boo-boo.
We need it. And so Christian being doing a Father's Day special is so funny. I hope that there's like all the members of the patriarchy give him a gift. And it's like number one dad hat and like golf clubs or something like so just comedically father core, American dad core.
Except he's I was at Target. There was a whole aisle that's just dedicated to like gifts your father would like. You know,
is it just like everything like number one dad mugs?
There is a mug that like is shaped. It has the dimples of like a golf ball. So it's like, yeah, dad, I can't give you a round of golf, but I can give you a golf mug. There's like a couple drinking things. There was like some fishing tchotchke items.
Sick.
Yeah, sick. Yeah, so if you have a dad.
Father's Day to any dads in the chat. Shout out to you.
And all the daddies.
And all the daddies. And those of you who are dads and daddies.
Yes.
Yes. Like Christian Cage.
The turtleneck stays on.
Oh, the turtleneck. You cannot.
Why is there not a branded turtleneck in AEW shop? Is it because AEW shop sucks?
I would buy it.
I would buy it too. And I don't wear turtlenecks.
Christian Cage, the man that you are. But yeah, I'm hoping that there's, and I also hope that Killswitch or Luchasaurus gives Christian his gift. And Christian is like, this sucks. Die.
It's a paternity test. You are the father.
And then Nick Wayne gives him a stupid mug or like a baseball cap or something. And he's like, I will treasure this for the rest of my life. That's what I want. That's
listen, what I want. Everybody has that dynamic, right? Everybody, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, yesterday I went to my niece's high school graduation and my mom brought out the Windows XP computer and it's like, help me convert all of these pictures into like, my mom doesn't know anything about computers. Anyways, she wanted me to make all these scanned pictures go into her Facebook. She doesn't know how to do that. And she still has a Windows XP computer. But my parents have been divorced now for, you know, over 10 years. And my dad's, you know, because like you used to have like the different profiles or whatever. And yeah. I clicked on it and she was like, I think I accidentally scanned all these pictures and they're like old timey, you know, 100 years ago pictures.
Yeah.
And I opened up my dad's profile and looked into like his pictures that he saved on a computer that's like, you know, 15 years old. And I'm like, oh, I can tell which child was his favorite. Because there's no saved pictures of me, no saved pictures of my other siblings, only of my brother. And I'm like, this is so funny to me because like, even though parents will say, I don't have a favorite child, they do. Check their passwords, you know, check their saved pictures.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. Sorry to put that, you know, on the forefront. Your parents definitely have favorites and you may or may not be them. So
I'm everybody's favorite.
Listen, you're my favorite. So
oh, I'm glad.
Oh, good. You're welcome.
But bring us back to Forbidden Door. Cause we've basically made it through the whole card that's announced so far. We also got to talk about AJ versus Cody.
Oh my goodness.
Is it an I Quit match? Mind you. I have thoughts.
Yeah, tell me your thoughts.
So to me, AJ Styles hasn't been firing on all cylinders for like a long time because he's in that mode where he's in WWE, he's part-time and he's just coasting and chilling, which is like totally his right. Like, I'm not shaming AJ for anything, of course. So him being in an I Quit match against Cody, of all people, is super intriguing to me. And I fully expect Cody to find a way to bleed. He will bash his head into the ground until he bleeds.
Sure.
He will do something.
What did you think of AJ Styles wearing his stupid baby blue little jacket?
AJ Styles has always been a dork. So, like,
I had thought that was the thing of, like, him going out there and he's like, oh, he's going to retire. But we know the condition that AJ Styles is, and he's not in retirement mode yet, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I definitely did not think that, you know, because I think that Cody's in this place where, like, okay, he just went through 2 years of trying to defeat the head of the table, right? And now he knows that Roman's off his back. For the most part, the bloodline has kind of done other feuds or whatever. So I think his guard being down is perfect to lead into this match. Because if you're going to be the top guy, the top champ, the last thing you want to do is like let your guard down a little bit and feel safe. And yeah. I'm really stoked about this I Quit match because I think that there's one thing that WWE does really well is their premium live events, but also the stipulation matches.
Yeah.
Right. The I Quit matches are historical. I mean, some of the best I Quit matches are on WWE programming. So, I don't think that either Cody or AJ have ever been in an I Quit match. Somebody can tell me in the chat if I'm wrong. But I mean, the two just fought at the backlash. I was about to call it Fastlash. That's not correct. That's Fastlane and Backlash together. But that was so great. And commentary saying that Cody was the leader of Bullet Club only made me a little bit mad.
Only a little bit.
Sorry, I hijacked your thoughts.
No, I'm excited about this. I'm not all that intrigued by anything happening in WWE right now, but I do think an I Quit match with Cody Rhodes, with like how Cody is, just his personality, I think it's going to be super intriguing. The question is, though, does AJ Styles like put his all in and give as good as he gets? That will like make or break the match for me, because Cody's obviously going to, because he's Cody and he's a freak.
Yeah.
AJ is part-time. He's older. Like, what does he do? And I'm interested to see if, because an I Quit match is something that you don't want your talent to have to dumb down, if that makes sense. So yeah. You want to give them the reins to be a little crazy, a little desperate, a little violent, all those kinds of things. And so WWE now has to grapple with like an I Quit match that lives up to the historic standard of WWE I Quit matches, or a match that's an I Quit match, but it's wrestled the same as just a match.
Yeah. So
like, they have to grapple with those two opposing things. And like AJ Styles' performance is very much like in the middle. And so I think WWE's idea of violence, quote unquote, violent matches nowadays is a little bit different than violent matches of the past. Not that I'm saying that someone needs to bleed buckets for this to be a convincing match, but I think that they need to do something besides just the I Quit part of it that makes this match look more intense than other matches. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do that. I think Cody, as an actor, will do a lot to get that sort of the desperation of an I Quit match and like the suspense of it. I think Cody will do a lot to get that across because he's Cody and he's always melodramatic like that. That's just who he is. It depends on how much leash WWE gives them.
Yeah.
And also how much AJ is willing to do to get the violence across.
I mean, AJ Styles is 47 years old.
Yeah.
Like, he's in the realm of, okay, we are at the end of his career. However, I still think that AJ Styles can go. This man was in WCW. This man was in TNA. This man has been in New Japan. This man has been in WWE. He's been in so many other promotions to name. He's very well liked, very well respected, because he is professional at what he does. He's very good at what he does, but he is still 47 years old. Like,
yeah,
we have to remember that, like, Adam Copeland is 50 years old and was like, I've done this before. I can jump off a steel cage. And the guy broke his leg. Yeah. You know, he could have done a lot worse, but I don't think that anything huge is going to happen. I don't think that we're going to be jumping off cages or jumping off ladders.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Of course.
I think that there will be going through announcer tables. I think there will be chairs. I think there will be steel steps and things all over the ring. I think that it is going to be violent, but I fear that what WWE does sometimes when trying to protect is that they make it look a little bit too corny, cheesy, or too shenanigans-y.
Yeah.
Yes, he was also in Ring of Honor. Thank you so much. I wasn't listing off everything, but I don't want it to be too WWE, but we don't have Kevin Dunn anymore. So it's not going to be the zoom in, zoom out, cut, zoom in, zoom out, you know, exaggerated nature of it. It does have a big fight feel. It does have a big, like, okay, this could be AJ Styles' last big main event.
Yeah.
However, AJ Styles has basically fought everybody. And he's fought Cody before.
Yeah.
So they know each other pretty well. And I mean, who better to know you than someone that you've kind of come up with and seen, you know, because AJ Styles has always been a step ahead of Cody just because of age, just because of, like, you know, geography or whatever. But, like, I think there is something to say about AJ Styles, but I don't think that AJ Styles is winning. I think that after this, he's going to take a vacation with Wendy, his wife.
I think Cody is winning this one. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be good for Cody as well because of the, like, the Rock versus Roman thing is still kind of looming in the air. So I think it'll be fun. And I think it's a good way for Cody to start the summer, like, leading into the build for SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I think it'll be good. I'm excited about it. I'm also a big AJ fan. And I think it'd be cool if they played off the Bullet Club lore. Both being former, AJ is actually a leader of Bullet Club, by the way, but both being former members of Bullet Club. To me, it just comes down to how far does WWE want to take it with these guys?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. Because if they play it safe, then it's an I Quit match that's a dud. Like, it's not
right. Great. Doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah. So I think that's what it comes down to for me. But I'm excited about it. I'm excited for Forbidden Door as well. Sorry, I'm yawning so much because my ring light has been in my eyes for a long time. And so my brain is, like, interpreting that as, like,
yeah, that's why I was trying. I changed up my area of Sidian because I know that ring lights, like, they kind of bring a sense of rest needing to your eyes. So
yes. Yeah. Do you have, what are your final thoughts? And chat, what is your final thoughts about or anything really?
I think, I mean, these shows are going to be, you know, these shows are going to be setting the tone for your summer, right? I mean, WWE PLEs, right? You, what is the next, what's coming up next, right? So in summer, like, how are we building to our main shows, right? How are we building to SummerSlam? How are we building to All In and All Out, which we haven't even talked about how they moved All Out to the week following.
Which, thank God.
I think thank God, but, like, I feel bad for anyone that's like, I've already you know, made my reservation at my hotel. I've already, you know, bought my plane ticket and all the things. It's like, I feel bad for those folks, but I do think it's a good idea because now we can flesh out more storyline, more, you know, post All In stuff. But these are your top shows that are happening in the summer, whereas, you know, SummerSlam is at the beginning of August, All In is the end of August. How are we utilizing this summertime? Because it is a different feel than, you know, fall, winter, spring of wrestling, right? It is, yeah. It is a, you know, a entertainment that is all year. There is no off season, but it does have a different feel to it. I think that our brains are in a different spot during the summertime. So, and we have NXT tonight and we have Roxanne versus Jordan Grace, my friend Jordan Grace, who I'm so happy for her and I'm so excited for her to have this opportunity. I'm just excited about wrestling. Once again, shocked.
As you should be, because wrestling is, like, in a really exciting place. And I think that's my final thought, is, like, for fans, for wrestlers, for, you know, photographers, for all these kind of things, like, wrestling is in a really, really good spot. And so I'm excited. Like, I'm genuinely excited about watching wrestling, about reading about wrestling, about watching podcasts in ways that I haven't been in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I know wrestling's at a good spot. So that's my final thought. It's like, we are in, like, I think, in my opinion, a new golden age of wrestling. And so I'm excited to see how it shakes out because there's so many, like, NXT working with TNA and AEW working with everybody and WWE and Marigold and, like, all these things going on. There's so many factors at play. It feels so fun and unpredictable and mm-hmm. just chaotic. And I really thrive in that. So I'm excited about it. I'm losing my voice a little bit.
Right. We've been going.
Roxanne versus Jordan. I think Roxanne retains. I don't watch that much NXT, but I do think, I don't know. I guess Jordan, I could see. But I'm going to go with Roxanne. That's my prediction for that one. But yeah. Do you want to do your plugs?
Well, hi. I am your Auntie Collins. I am here every Sunday. Remember, next week is a pre-recorded episode. But join us and leave your thoughts in the comments. Please support the show, even when we are not live. I'm over at our local establishment on Thursdays talking about Ring of Honor. So if you want to head over there, show support to our friends over there. And I do weekly predictions and I'm enjoying myself. I was supposed to do predictions yesterday for Collision. Whoops. I love myself. I'm just hanging around talking about wrestling and I post a lot of up Bravo related content recently because I really love Vanderpump Rules. So follow me for a good time and you won't regret it.
You can follow me on Twitter at Kylie Wrestling. Lately I've been talking a lot about like video games and horror movies and also wrestling. So if anything that interests you, follow me. This is Wrestling Made Me Cry every Sunday at noon. But like we said earlier, and I'll just reiterate, the coming weeks, there's going to be a lot of pre-recorded episodes because I'm going to be working out of state for my big girl job. And like logistically, it just doesn't work out for us to be live, unfortunately. But that does mean we get to do some really cool stuff with pre-recorded content. So if you have anything that you'd like to see, anything you'd like to see us talk about or do a deep dive on, or, you know, a top five whatever list you'd like to see, anything like that, please let us know on Twitter, and we'll do those. This is Fightful Overbooked. It's the sister channel of Fightful. It's where the sickos are. And Tony Khan loves the sickos. So there's a lot of wrestling and non-wrestling content on Fightful Overbooked. Just go to the playlist tab on the channel and you can see all the shows that are going on, and all the shows that have gone on in the past. And you can go watch those. Lots of really great people on Fightful Overbooked, and all different kinds of wrestling is talked about, all different kinds of entertainment. It's a good time. All that being said, yes, Mike, sickos for life. That is the closing statement, sickos for life. All that being said, thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll see you next week, but it won't be us seeing you next week. It'll be past us seeing you next week in our recorded episode.
But attendance is mandatory.
Attendance is mandatory.
We'll have to show up there.
I'll check extra credit. Yeah. All that being said, thank you guys so much. Love you. Bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.